We're doing Yeshaya, we're up to what's called the fifth chapter, the 19th Pasuk. And the Navi is describing the sinners that are bringing sin upon themselves. They're really causing their own destruction. And he describes them and says in Pasuk Yutet, Ha'omerim yimaher yachisha maseihu leman nireh. They mock the prophecies and they say, okay, God, bring it on. Quicker. Let's see. We want to see it. V'tikra v'tavoha atzat kedosh Yisrael v'neida. And let's bring God's plan on. We want to see it happen. We want to see that He really has the capacity to do it. Hoi. The Navi continues and says, woe to those people that ha'omerim la'ra tov v'latov ra. Woe to those people that look at evil and say, that's good, and look at good and say, that's bad. They look at idol worship, at paganism, and they say, that's good. They look at the service of Hashem, and they say, that's bad. Samim choshech le'or ve'or le'choshech. They turn what's dark into what's light. They turn what's light into what's dark. Samim mar le'matok u'matok le'mar. They take that which is bitter and they call it sweet. They take that which is sweet and call it bitter. You have something which makes sense. You have Jewish philosophy. Go learn it. Go understand it. They say, oh, that's dark ages. You don't understand. You take something that's sweet, a way of life that's enriching. You say, that's bitter. Who wants to do that? You take something that's bitter, burning their own children. And you say, oh, that's sweet. Yeah, go be a pagan. So the Navi says, what's wrong with these people? Hoi chachamim beinehem. Woe to those people who consider themselves so wise. Meneget v'neihem nivonim. And when they look in the mirror, they think, oh, I have so much understanding. Hoi giborim lishtot yayin. Woe to those people whose might is in drinking wine. You know those people, they sit in the bar and they're very good at having another drink. True fortitude, true strength is standing up to your desires, is standing up and controlling yourself. But no, their bravery is all in drinking wine. Ve'an sheichayil limsoch sheichar. And they're men of valor to do what? To perfect their wine. Matzdikei rasha eikev shochad. They accept a bribe, and then when they're given a case to judge, they side with the wicked. And even though the righteous have righteous claims, they renege those claims. They disavow, they claim that it's all false, and they claim that the righteous are wicked. So it's not only their personal lives that are warped, but then when they have positions of leadership, so then that comes to expression in the way they judge. Lachen kechol kash lishon eish. Therefore, Hashem says, because they're so corrupt, just as fire burns hay, vachashash lehava yirpeh, and just as the flame can consume chashash. Chashash is a type of thinner straw. Sholsham kamak yihyeh. By the same token, their root will become like mak, like something that's rotten, like something that's melting away. Ufirham ka'avak yahaleh. And their greatness will pass like the dust. As the wind blows away a drop of dust, so too their greatness will pass. Kima'asu. Eit Torat Adonai Tzevaot Ve'eit Imrat Kedosh Yisrael Ni'eitzu. Because they scorned, they were disgusted with the Torah of Hashem, and the words of Hashem they blasphemed. So Hashem says, look at their way of life. They view themselves as exceptionally wise. They apply their strength to drinking wine, to enjoying themselves. They look at life and they look at what's bad and they say, that's good. They look at what's good and they say, that's bad. They look at what makes sense and they say, oh, that's dark. They look at what's dark and they say, ah, that's light. Says Hashem, where does that lead them? Ultimately, they destroy the whole justice system. And Hashem says, just as fire is quick to consume hay and thin hay, so too their greatness will be destroyed. They'll be taken down from their stature because they scorned, they were disgusted with the Torah of Hashem. Al-kein chara af Adonai be'amo vayet yado alav vayakehu. Therefore, Hashem is upset at His nation. They've appointed leaders that are corrupt. And so Hashem extends His hand to hit them. And the mountains of Judea are going to tremble in fear. The mountains of Judea is a reference to the leaders, the kings of Judea, the nobility of Judea. Vatehi nivlatam kasucha bekerev chutzot. And their bodies, after they die, their carcasses, their corpses, will be like the spit. A person spits on the street. Kasucha. Sucha is like phlegm. When a person spits on the street, so he leaves it and keeps walking. So too, the nobility of Judea will be killed and left lying on the sides of the street, just like a person's phlegm, where no one bothers looking at it. They just walk by. Bechol zot lo shava po ve'od yado nituya. And even after this has occurred, the prophet warns, Hashem has not calmed. On the contrary, His hand is still extended, and He is continuing to punish. V'nasaneis lagoyim merachok v'sharak lo miketzei haaretz. Hashem will raise the banner, so to speak. He will raise the sign to invite nations from afar. He will call them as if He were whistling to attract them from the edge of the earth. And you'll see them come quickly, you'll see them come swiftly and lightly. So here we have to wonder what he's talking about. Is he continuing to talk about the destruction of the first temple? Is he talking about the destruction of the second temple? Because the first temple, they didn't come from the edge of the land. They came from really close by, from the Babylonian Empire. It was only later, in the destruction of the second temple, that you had nations coming from afar. So this discernment that I'm saying stems from Nachmanides on the two depictions of the curses in the Torah, where the Torah once describes a nation that will exile us, and then once describes a nation coming from afar, where you don't even understand them. So Rashi seems to learn that this is not even talking about the destruction of the second temple, but rather it's talking about the ultimate war of Gog and Magog. And that's the idea where Hashem will call in nations from afar. So that's interesting. Then it's as though we will return to the land of Israel. There will be tremendous corruption here. Hashem will hold it against the people for appointing the corrupted leaders. And then Hashem says, okay, I'm going to destroy the corruption that's going on in Israel. If we're going to understand the way Rashi says. And that makes a lot of sense with a democracy. Saying, I always wondered, why did Hashem hold it against the people? What were they supposed to do? If they tried a rebel, they'd get killed. So you see, some were able to lead a rebellion. If it's the prophet Jeremiah, the pious were able to protest. Throughout the generations, they found their way of protesting or leading the nation in the right direction. So Hashem is holding it against the people for just following suit and letting it happen. I was standing at the train station, and the train just didn't come. So I was riding. I was busy. I didn't care. But people around me were getting really annoyed because we all knew that when the train comes, it's going to be packed. So people started talking about how terrible this new train is. So I said to them, look, we all know that the train is hurting us. But it's our fault. Because if the head of the city, if Barkat thought he would lose the next election because of how we're suffering from all the changes in the public transportation, believe me, within 2 weeks it would be much better. But he doesn't feel a threat because all we're doing is standing here complaining. No one came out and said, I am not voting Barkat next election because I'm suffering with the transportation system. There are ways to move the system, but no one's doing them. So, okay, so if that's so, then we're condoning it. We're just grumbling and saying, okay, chaval, it's not nice. They're wasting our time. But no one's doing more than that, or very little is being done beyond that. Yeah. So I'm just saying, so that's, if the people are going to be held accountable, there has to be an element of responsibility where they could have done something different. So that makes a lot of sense if we're talking about a democracy, if we're talking about the type of aristocracy that was around in the first and second temple, so then that's really questionable what they could have done, because when they tried to protest, they were killed. I mean, the Herodian dynasty was filled with bloodshed. Any city that tried to protest, they had no issue. They couldn't care if they wiped out a whole city. You read Josephus, you see that was happening right and left. Yeah.
My question is going to sound very shallow after loading it, but just when you're talking about like the whole border thing and saying that like it wasn't until the second temple that they came from afar, is like Italy or Rome or whatever geographically, is that farther than Iraq? Like Babylon?
Depending on where, but the journey from here to Babylon was about between a week and 2 weeks. The journey from Rome, you're talking about months. It's not.
Isn't it geographically closer
than you? I guess the terrain they traveled, I don't think it's geographically closer. We have a map? Okay. Back to Pasuk Chaf Zayin. Nah. You look at a map. I don't think so. So the Navi is describing the enemy that's going to be invited to come and destroy the city. And here there are different interpretations, whether we're talking about the destruction of the 10 tribes, whether we're talking about the destruction of the temple, or we're talking about the destruction that's yet to come. They will come with energy. They won't be tired. They won't be stumbling. They won't have to rest. They won't have to sleep. His belt buckle won't open. His shoelaces won't come untied. Hashem will give him extra assistance to come and destroy. His arrows will be sharpened. His bows will be stretched. The hooves of his horses will be strong as a strong stone. What's the word for a strong stone in English? Okay, I don't know. Vegalgalav kasufa, and his wheels will turn like a tornado, so they'll come so swiftly. Shagalo kalavi, they will roar like a lion. Yishag kakifirim veinom veyochez teref, they will roar like young lions. You'll hear them, the lion has a grumbling that's just before it jumps on its prey. And so too they will grumble and then grab their prey. Ve'yaflit ve'ein matzil. And they will capture their prey and none will be able to save from them. None will be able to rescue from the hands of these lions. Ve'inom alav v'yomahu k'namat yam. And then over Israel, he who looks at Israel will be stunned and they will, the enemy will look at them and they will come down upon them like the waves of the nation, like the waves of the sea. Vinibat la'aretz v'hine choshech. Vinibat la'aretz. And the people of Israel will look around throughout the land. Who's going to come and help them out? We have so many peace treaties. Where are all our friends? And what will they see? They will see darkness. Suddenly, no friends to help them. Tsar va'or chashach ba'arifeha. What they will see is that no one's coming to help them. V'nibat la'aretz v'hine choshech. Tsar, they will see that there's darkness, they're being enclosed. Va'or chashach ba'arifeha. And even the sun of the light seems to have darkened. Things are going so bad for the Jewish people. So that's the description that Hashem says. They're challenging me. They're saying, let's see. Let's see if he can really do anything. Hashem says, I'm going to show them what I can do. And this is the description of the destruction that's to come. The simple reading is that this is the description of the destruction at the times of right after Isaiah, the destruction of the first temple. The only question is, what does the Navi then mean when he says, I'm going to call nations from the edge of the land? So you'll say that's an exaggeration. Okay, so that's the simple reading over here. That the idea is that nations from afar will come to attack. It works a little bit because technically we have no issue with the Babylonian Empire. Anyway, we weren't a threat to them. So there are two types of wars. There's a war where you hope to gain territory or loot. There's a war where you're threatened. And sometimes the Navi will describe a nation that's coming just for the sake of destruction as though it's coming by Hashem's invitation because they're coming from afar. So maybe that's the idea here, because we don't find that the Babylonian Empire really benefited from Israel. They had a very small contingency of people left behind to develop blue dye and glass. There were two professions which they wanted to benefit from in Israel. But more than that, as far as I recall, we don't find that the Babylonian Empire really benefited too much from conquering Israel. So that's the description we find in the Navi over and over again, that this is Hashem's instigation. Come destroy Israel. What were you saying? Right, but that wasn't their goal. They took us in as slaves. It's under the Persian Empire that we were released from slavery, and then we flourished. Yeah?
It's almost three times further from Rome to Jerusalem than from Baghdad.
Iraq actually connects to Jordan.
Right.
So 1,500 miles.